Barbara, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Barbara, what have you found to be happening in these educational events?
Okay, so we looked at educational events that were sponsored over a four-year period. And so this is a national overview of all of the industry sponsorship. And we were looking specifically at three conditions, depression, overactive bladder, and osteoporosis, which are conditions where there's been sort of highlighting in the medical press about overdiagnosis and overtreatment. And we wanted to look at how often the educational events held by companies focused on GPs and family doctors, how often they provided dinners at restaurants, for instance, and then also which companies were sponsoring the events and what drugs they have to sell. And so what we found was actually that the companies that were sponsoring most of the events are companies that, for instance, you know, have, for depression, for instance, an antidepressant, Valdoxan, which is not PBS subsidized and is not even on the market in the U.S. and Canada. So not really a first-choice treatment for that condition. Osteoporosis, a very expensive product, was being promoted at most events. So the companies that market that product, Prolia, denosumab, were sponsoring most events. And for overactive bladder, again, the companies marketing drugs that are not PBS subsidized were sponsoring most events.
Right. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, sorry. So, I mean, I can say that really, in order to provide the best treatment, doctors really should be going to independent educational events rather than events that are sponsored by drug companies.
Right, yeah. Now, how could these events influence medical professionals in their decisions with their patients?
Well, often actually medical professionals feel that they believe they're not influenced, but then you have to look at the amount of money that's being spent on these events and, you know, ask yourself question, why would the company be spending that money if there is no influence? We also know from research evidence, especially now in the U.S. with the U.S. Sunshine Act, that even a small meal of that's worth less than $20 is associated with more prescribing of the promoted products. And actually, research that found that the more meals that were being provided to doctors, the higher their prescribing rate for the sponsor's product. And that also doctors who were getting more funding were more likely to prescribe brand name, more expensive products rather than more cost-effective ones.
And according to your report, there has been a large increase in prescribing rates for many of the medications discussed at these educational events. So would you say it's pretty much because of, you know, buying these dinners, these lunches, or is there any other influences that they have over doctors?
So this is really part of an entire promotional campaign. We did not have the names of the individual doctors who were attending the event. So we can't make the one-to-one connection as is, has been made in that other research that I quoted to say, okay, you know, this doctor attended a nice dinner and then afterwards started prescribing more of the drug that was the focus of the presentation at that dinner. But we do know from the research evidence in general that there is an increase. And certainly in this case, we saw an increase in the prescribing of the drugs that were marketed by the sponsors of most events. So for depression, Servier was the company that sponsored half of the events over this four-year period. We saw a tripling of the rate of Valdoxan prescribing. The second most frequent sponsor was AstraZeneca. They don't have an antidepressant, but they have an antipsychotic drug, Seroquel, which is prescribed as a sort of second-line treatment for people who haven't responded well to antidepressants. We also saw an increase in the prescribing rate for the formulation that's used for depression. Again, for osteoporosis, Prolia, denosumab was the drug that the sponsors of most events are marketing, and over half of new osteoporosis treatments in Australia now are for this drug. And it's a drug there, you know, there's concerns about in terms of risks of serious infections. So some risks that are not shared with the other drugs that are given for osteoporosis, also very expensive new drug.
Right. Now, if you're just joining us on The Daily this morning, we're talking to Dr. Barbara Minetz from the University of Sydney about her report on educational events that are being held by big pharmaceutical companies for doctors and what this means for their patients. So pharmaceutical industry bodies Medicines Australia released a response to your report stating that this article relies heavily on insinuation and seeks to misinform the reader about the medicines being prescribed with no applicable Australian evidence whatsoever. How do you respond to this?
Okay, so this is certainly evidence about the pattern in Australia of sponsorship of events. Entirely Australian. Now, in terms of other Australian, like in terms of implications, as I mentioned before, we could not follow individual doctors prescribing, looking at before and after they attended dinner, for instance. We could see that for the events that focused on these conditions, primary care doctors, so GPs and family doctors, were more likely to be invited by companies than the events sponsored by companies in general in Australia over this time period. And that was one of the things that we were looking at, because these are all conditions that occur upon a, you know, on a spectrum. And if you're concerned about overtreatment, you'd be concerned more at the milder end of the spectrum, which is what professionals will see in primary care. So we did see a link to more use in primary care. Again, also, there were more dinners. There were more dinners that were at non-clinical settings, which are usually in restaurants. And so that's certainly in terms of knowing that anybody who gets a gift from, even if you're not conscious, that that gift gives you sort of a more nice glowing feeling about the gift giver. There is a human side, which providing food and drink, providing dinners, certainly has been shown in other settings to have an effect. We wouldn't claim that we could, you know, that we could measure prescribing that was related to the specific events. It's true that we're looking at research in other jurisdictions in terms of knowing that having a meal that's provided by a pharmaceutical company then is associated with an increase in prescribing. We also saw an increase in prescribing over this period of time. I think you can put two and two together and say there's no real reason to think that Australian doctors are any different, say, than European doctors or Canadian doctors in terms, or U.S. doctors in terms of the link between promotional spending and effects on prescribing.
Right. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you.